You saw also in the video the lady's face. We also have it on our banner back there. We tried to talk to her while she was on the subway, but she wouldn't even look in our face. And we tried to have a conversation with her, but it was very, very difficult. We were in the old East Berlin area when we were trying to establish this conversation. And when you're over there in Berlin, especially in the east part of Berlin, where the communism was, you still can feel a major sense of oppression pushing on you. It's very eerie over there. You walk the streets and you'll see people walking, but their heads are down. There's not a whole lot of smiling, whole lot of joking around. They're just going to their place and coming right back. It's very quiet over there, and it's very sober. And because the effects of communism still has the effect there in that part of the city. And we believe that the Lord wants us to start in the northeast district of Penku. And so that was one of the districts that was behind the Berlin Wall. And so we would really covet your prayers as we go to this part of the city to start. There's also a district in the south where is predominantly Muslim. The Turkish people are there. And one of the goals we would like to see is to reach a Turkish man and have him go back to Turkey and evangelize people there in Turkey. And so we are looking forward to going there, but it's not going to be easy, like I told you. And so that's one of the things we're going to talk about here tonight is how can we bring down strongholds? How can we bring down strongholds? Because in Germany, in Berlin, that's a major stronghold. It is not an easy place. Satan is not happy that we're coming over there. Because it's spiritually dark, what happens when you're in a dark room and you light a candle? It illuminates the room. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. If you go to a place that does not have the gospel, it's dark. But when you bring the gospel, it lightens up the area. And so we are looking forward to bringing the gospel over there to the German people and have them see the difference. That's what we want to have them see and have them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about here tonight, how to bring down strongholds. The Lord has given us some a plan to bring down strongholds. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not talking about just about Berlin. Every one of us has a stronghold in our way. If we're honest with ourselves, there is something that's in your way that is hindering you, holding you back, that you're not going forth as aggressive as you could have been going forth. And the Lord wants you to have victory over that stronghold. I don't know what that stronghold is. It could be work. It could be family, finances, entertainment. I don't know what it is. It's different for each and every one of us. But we have strongholds that are hindering us. And the Lord wants to show you that those can come down and we can go forth and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start here, but then we'll go to a very familiar passage. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start here with... let's start with verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God is going to show us tonight and give you some principles of how to bring down strongholds so that you can have victory moving forth for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight and for the opportunity of having Your Word open, and hearing of Your counsel. We do ask, Heavenly Father, that You will protect the sanctuary, put a hedge around us so Satan cannot come in and disrupt the services, but that Your Holy Spirit will have freedom to accomplish what He needs to do here tonight. And as You say in Your Word, any Father, that we will not only be hearers of the Word, but that we'll be doers of the Word, so that we can see victory in our lives and to accomplish what you want us to do for the cause of Christ. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to turn over to a very familiar passage of passages that you've heard many, many times, even from Sunday school on. But go over and turn to Joshua chapter 6. When we're thinking of strongholds, what usually comes in your mind? The walled city of Jericho. Usually comes to people's minds about the walled city of Jericho. And God gave a plan to bring that stronghold down. And God is no respecter of persons. If He allowed and had that for the children of Israel, He wants us to have it as well. He wants to give us the very same plan. But we have to remember, we have to go to Him individually. Each stronghold is different. Remember, after the battle of Jericho, they went to Little Ai. That was a different battle plan that they got from the Lord. And it's the same thing with us. The strongholds are different. But we're going to show you tonight through God's Word on how to bring down the strongholds. So look in Joshua chapter 6, reading, like I said, very familiar passages, but starting in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Now look down in verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and then came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now go down to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took that city. So that's what I want to talk about, how to bring down the strongholds. God gave Joshua a plan here to bring down Jericho. But He's also going to give you a plan to bring down the strongholds in your life. And so to start off with, the stronghold that you have is much like Jericho. It's walled, it's very strong, it's hard to penetrate, because when we try to go through these strongholds ourselves, what usually happens? We fall flat on our face. We don't have victory because we don't have, and we're going to see here in a minute, we don't have the power of God because we're doing it on our own strength. So now let's see what the Lord has for us. First of all, to bring down strongholds in our lives, we need to do something first. We need to encompass the city or encompass the stronghold with prayer. You need to go before God. What did Joshua do after they crossed the River Jordan? They came and they knew that this walled city was the first thing in their path. Now, we're not dealing with an army that has all this equipment, that doesn't have all this warfare capability. These are the children of Israel. And yet he goes before God on his knees and say, God, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And God gave him the plan of what to do. It's the same thing with us. When we have that stronghold in front of us, we need to get on our knees and say, God, how do we bring down the stronghold? It's the same in Berlin. We're going to Berlin, and we've been on our knees saying, Lord, what do we need to do to bring down the stronghold? He has a plan for each and every one of us. And we see it through God's word. And I just wrote down a few examples here of people going before the Lord to get the counsel that they need. In Genesis chapter 24, we see Abraham's servant praying for a bride for Isaac. In Exodus 14, the Israelites praying for deliverance at the Red Sea. In 2 Kings chapter 19, Hezekiah facing the invasion of Assyria. In Acts chapter 12, the church praying for the release of Peter. It all started with prayer. It all started with prayer. So how do we pray? See, that's the key here. I'm afraid a lot of people, and I'm not saying that you all, but I'm saying a lot of people in the United States, we have a fast food mentality when it comes to prayer. We get on our knees, or we don't get on our knees, and we say, Lord, I'd really like to see this accomplished. Can you get this for me? And think we have done something big. That's not prayer. That's not what God's looking for. And to give you what the Lord's looking for, go over to Luke chapter 11. Look here in Luke chapter 11. His disciples, Jesus Christ's disciples, asked this very same question. How do we pray? And this, look what the Lord says here in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, now look at this next word, importunity. That means persistence. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what's the Lord trying to tell his disciples here? The same thing he's telling us on how do we need to pray. We need to pray with two requirements, if I can use that term, for his will to be accomplished, and that we pray with persistence. That we just don't give up and quit quickly, as I'm afraid a lot of the practice is here in the United States. Pray for his will to be accomplished, because that's always the requirement that he's looking for in prayer. We have an elderly gentleman in our church who prayed for 50 years for his sister's salvation. 50 years. But there was the two requirements there, for his will to be accomplished, and he was persistent. Is it not God's will that people get saved? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that we all come to repentance. That's his will. And so he was praying for his will to be done. And he never quit praying for his sister's salvation. She got saved. And then 3 years later, she passed away. But this elderly gentleman said, those last 3 years were the sweetest years I ever had with my sister. Because he was praying in the manner that the Lord wanted him to pray. See, when you go before that stronghold, you know that stronghold's in front of you, go before the Lord, ask for his will to be accomplished, and never stop praying. The Lord will give you the plan. The Lord will show you. And another thing about prayer is that we need to go to the one who can answer the prayer. Now, a lot of times we go before we have these major problems in our lives, these strongholds, and you know the last person we go to is the Lord. We go to the government, we go to the psychologist or the psychiatrist, we go to somebody who lives down the road a couple blocks down from us and see, we need to go to the Lord. Go look in Luke chapter 18 real quickly. Look in Luke chapter 18. And we see the Lord speaking here again. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, I'm sorry, in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in his city a judge which feared not God, nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We need to go to the one who can answer and show us the plan. So when we have that stronghold in front of us, the first step that we need to do is we need to get on our knees. And we need to be praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is the plan to bring down this stronghold? Because it's his will. God doesn't want that stronghold to be in front of you to hold you back. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to do things that will bring honor and glory to him. So he'll give you the battle plan. But you need to ask for his will, and you need to be praying in a persistent manner. Don't have a fast food mentality. Continually in prayer, and go to the one who can answer that prayer. Secondly, when we remember the story of Joshua, we won't turn back to Joshua, but remember the second part. After he told the children of Israel, this is what God gave me, this is what we're going to do. And he told them on that seventh day, when you go around the city seven times and you hear the trumpet of the Lord, what did he tell them to do? He told them to shout. To shout, and the walls would come down. Well, that is telling us we need to encircle the problem, circle the stronghold with praise. Encircle the problem with praise. Even though it looks so hard and the shadow is over you, casting a long shadow, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of joy here, you need to be praising God. Because what happens when you're praising God? Are you closer to God or are you closer to Satan? You need to be praising the Lord. And you'll be far away from Satan. And Satan does not like to hear praising of God. You need to be praising God. In John 3 and verse 30, you don't have to turn there, but John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. It's all about Christ. Yes, we have a problem. Yes, we have that stronghold in front of us. And yes, it's casting a great shadow upon us. But he's still Lord. He's still God. And he deserves our praise. We need to remember that. Going through this time. I live in a very small town in Larimore, North Dakota, kind of like Knobnoster. We have maybe 1,100 people in our town. And in our town, we don't have stoplights. We have stop signs, maybe two of them, okay? And there's three Lutheran churches. There's a Catholic church in town. And then what they refer to us as the Baptist. We have a big building off into the edge of town, and they call us the Baptists. But because it's a small town, and you guys know small town America, when you're going through a difficult time, everybody knows your business. Everybody knows what's going on. And they don't have to go to your church, but they know what's going on in your life. I remember after we surrendered to the call to go to Berlin, there were some trials that came in our lives. I mean, we asked for trials. Because we want to get closer to God and get the dross off. We asked for that. And it wasn't a fun time, but we were getting closer and closer to the Lord. But the people in town knew that we were going through a tough time. We were struggling in some areas of our family. But you know what they saw in our face? And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but they saw a smile. They saw us praising the Lord. And what happened with that? They came up to us and says, aren't you going through a hard time? Well, yes, we are. Then why are you smiling? Because in the North, they're very stoic, okay? They're all like this. Why are you smiling? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have something to be praising. And it was an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus Christ. See, when you're praising God, even during the most difficult time, the doors will open. And you'll be able to talk to people and to share with them of your love for Christ and what Christ did for you. And those strongholds will slowly start coming down. Turn over to the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. I want to show you a couple verses here in Psalm 34. Look in verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What's the psalmist saying there? Only during the good times you praise God? No, he says continually. Even during the tough times, even during that when that stronghold is right in front of you and it looks impregnable that you cannot get through it, you still praise God. Praise God continually, always. Look in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You are a local New Testament church. When somebody is struggling, you know it because you're referred to as a body. And when one part of the body hurts, the body hurts. And so when somebody's struggling, you know that. But what happens when that person who's struggling has a smile on their face and saying, praise the Lord? What's that do to your heart? It uplifts you. It encourages you. You know what they're going through, but yet they're saying, well, look at them. I can do this. Look in verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This local body church here in Namnos, and when we hear in our local body church in Larimore that there's people being saved and God's doing great and mighty things here in Namnos, and you know what that does to our hearts in Larimore, North Dakota? It encourages us. And we're going, praise the Lord, look what's going on, look what God's doing. That's what happens when we're praising God continually. In verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. What do we have to fear? We have God. What do we have? Why should we not be praising his name all the time? We have God. Okay, that stronghold looks big. I'm giving you that. But what do we have to fear? God's going to take care of it if we follow his plan. God's going to take care of it if we submit to him, amen, if we're obedient to him. We have nothing to fear. And in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encompasseth round about them that fear him and deliver them. We have angel protection. We should be praising God all the time. And people should be hearing us, wow, look at the difference in that person. Because we have the joy of the Lord. And we need to let other people know that. There's a song that goes, we won't sing or say the whole thing, but some of the verses go like this. Does sadness fill my mind? A solace here I find. May Jesus Christ be praised. Or fades my earthly bliss? My comfort still is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. We need to be praising him continually. Encircle the problem with praise. So you not only have to get the battle plan from God, which he wants to give to you, ask for his will and continually praying to get the battle plan, but then you need to be praising God. Even though it looks so hard and so difficult, praise his name. Thirdly, we need to encircle the problem with faith. You need to encircle the problem with faith. I want you to put yourselves in the sandals of the children of Israel. Joshua comes up and says, I have talked to the Lord, and he has given me the battle plan to take Jericho. We've all seen Jericho. It's huge. It's thick. It looks like it's going to be very difficult. And Joshua gives us the battle plan. You're going to walk around the city one day and then go back to the camp. You're not going to say anything. You're going to do that for the second day, and the third day, and the fourth, all the way up to the seventh day. And on the seventh day, you're going to walk around seven times. And then when you hear the trumpet, I want you to shout praises to the Lord, and the wall is going to come down. Now, to be quite honest with yourself, what if you heard a battle plan like that? Right. That's right. Really? But you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter? In verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. The children of Israel had great faith. They believed it. And that's what we need to do. The strongholds look terrible. They look hard. But believe it, that they're going to come down. We're going to a very hard, hard city. And we've been counseled, if you want to put it that way, talked to, that you do you understand how hard it is to win Germans to the Lord? Do you understand how hard it is, especially in Berlin? We've had that conversation with people. But we have great faith that the Lord is going to bring revival to that city. Because the gospel is going to be presented there. And God's word never returns void. Amen. We are looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in that city. And we're looking forward to seeing how the Lord's going to move in the people of Berlin. Matter of fact, we're even praying that we can meet and talk to the Chancellor of Germany, Merkel. We are looking forward to that. I'm going to go over to the parliament and I'm going to camp out there until I see her. But I'm going to talk to her and give her the gospel. But we have to believe. We have to have faith. We're going to have some tough times. When you have faith that the strongholds are going to come down, you're going to have family members. You're going to have co-workers. You're going to have people. And sometimes, and I'm saying here, but in sometimes you have people even in the church body saying, why are you doing this? You're not going to have victory. We need to have faith. We need to be like those three Hebrew children that we read about in Daniel, where we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through some tough times. They were ridiculed. They were mocked. But they had faith. And yes, they went through some trials. Literally, a fiery trial. They were cast in that furnace. But when they came out, they weren't even smelling like smoke. And what did Nebuchadnezzar say? And I'm paraphrasing here, but in Daniel chapter 3, he promoted those three in the province of Babylon. And then he said this, only their God could have done this what has happened. Because they had faith. You have to believe. If you want those strongholds to come down in your life, and you've got the battle plan from God, you prayed about it and you got the battle plan and you've been praising God during the thing, believe it, that it's going to come down. It might sound ridiculous to you. It might sound like there's no way in this world. Have faith and you'll see great and mighty things from God. I think you all know, maybe you don't, missionary Scott Kuzel to South Africa. I went over with him in 2010, handing out tracts at the World Cup when it was down there in South Africa. But he took me to Swaziland. And he told me back then, he says, one of these days, I'm going to present to the king of Swaziland. I know God's going to allow me to do this. And I'm going to work and I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do so I can present the gospel to him. Have you been reading his letters lately? He's had an open invitation to go to the court of the king of Swaziland to talk to him about the gospel, because he had faith. He had faith. We must have faith. And then to close out here for this evening, we not only have to be praying to get the battle plan, we not only have to circle with praise, we not only have to circle with faith, but you have to encircle the problem with perseverance. Encircle the problem with perseverance. Remember now, the children of Israel were told to walk around Jericho 6 days, one time. Go back to the camp, and on the seventh day, walk around 7 times. What if the children of Israel said something like this? You know, we've gone around 1 day, went back to the camp. Went around the second day, went back to the camp. This doesn't sound very good. I'm not going to go on the third day. Or I'm not going to go on the fourth day. Will the walls have come down? See, God said you need to do this for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you go around 7 times. And the walls would come down. Well, he's saying the same thing to us. I'm going to give you the battle plan. And you must have faith to complete this battle plan, but you must carry it all the way through. through. Don't stop in the middle. Don't stop three quarters of the way. You might not see what's going on, but the walls are going to come down. That's what God is telling us. You know, because you know what the one of the biggest hindrance to a Christian's life is simply discouragement and disappointment. We can't let that be in our way to see strongholds to come down. We need to be coming up where it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't stop midway. You carry it all the way through. That word shall, that's a positive, emphatic declaration, which means it's going to happen. God promises it's going to happen, and God keeps all of His promises. He said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. We have to believe that. When, as an air traffic controller, I told a pilot, you shall do this, there was no questioning on the radio. There was no, are you sure, type of an attitude. No, when I said those words, they did it immediately to keep them safe. It's the same thing with us. God is saying, it shall happen. We will reap in our giving. We will reap in our going. We will reap in our serving. We will reap in our praying. We will reap in seeing those walls of strongholds come down. Because God promises, if we faint not. Don't quit. And before I was called to go into Berlin, I was the Christian school principal at our church, at our Christian school that we have. I started in the year 2000. And so I've been on staff as a youth pastor and a Christian school principal since the year 2000 for 17 years. And we have a saying in our school, it is always too early to quit. It is always too early to quit. Don't quit. God's going to give you this plan, and it might sound impossible. It might take months, years, decades. But if He gave it to you, and you believe it and have faith, follow it all the way through, because it will come to fruition. Don't be like a lot of people and go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know You said that this would happen. I would reap if I do these things. Well, I think it's time for me to reap now. That's not our place to tell God that. It's not our place to say, God, I think You need to bring on some of this reaping now. That's not for us. God said, in due season. When is that? I have no idea. I have no idea. It's different for everybody. But He said, in due season, if we faint not. So don't quit. Don't give up. So I know that each and every one of us has a problem or a stronghold in our midst. I know that. And God has given tonight on how to take care of those strongholds. God's given you a battle plan. And He's saying, if you'll just do these things, you'll see victory in your lives. You'll see those strongholds come down. But you must encircle the problem with prayer. Go before Him. Get exactly what you need from Him, because He's the only one that can bring them down. Secondly, encircle the problem with praise. Even though it's very hard, you're going through a difficult time, and it's hard to praise God, but you continually praise His name. Third, have faith. Believe that those walls are going to come down. Believe there's going to be major victory in your life. You have to believe it. And then fourth, persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. We have a lot of people who have been by the wayside because they have given up. They have stopped. They've been disappointed. And they've just quit. Don't allow that to happen. Because if you do, the strongholds are going to remain standing. You can have victory like the children of Israel. That city of Jericho was a very strong, fortified city. And God brought it down. And He wants to do the same thing for you tonight. Pastor.